Amen. Good morning. God bless you. The song we just sang was, "This joy that I have, the world didn't give it to me, and the world can't take it away." What a wonderful privilege and an opportunity that we can receive the joy that comes only from Jesus Christ. We welcome you this morning, joining in with us, and we pray that God will bless you as we go into our Sunday morning service. Join with me right now as we go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come now in the precious name of Jesus. We acknowledge, God, we cannot live without you. We acknowledge, God, that we dare not die without you. We need you, Holy Father, involved in our lives. Help us, God, as we live day by day, not to lean on our own understanding, but to do according to your word, it says. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. Heavenly Father, as we come in this Sunday morning service, first of all, thank you for your Son and our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who came and gave his life. And as a result of him giving his life, we now have a right to your tree of life. We now can be called your sons and your daughters. And even greater than that, we're now heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. For this, we count it as a privilege. For this, we tell you thank you. And for this, we give you honor and we give you praise. This morning, God, as we set ourselves aside, as we step away from our busy schedule, and we take a few moments to worship you, I pray, God, that you will receive our humble sacrifices of praise. And even though, God, we will lift our hearts in weakness, I pray that you would receive it in strength. I pray this morning, oh God, for everyone that will listen in to this program, that will listen into this service. I pray, Heavenly Father, that you will touch them at the point of their need. I don't know their needs this morning, God. I don't know what they're in need of. But one thing I know, that you're an all-seeing God. You're an all-knowing God. Lord Jesus, and I also know there is no distance in prayer. I pray wherever my brother and my sister are this morning, God, that you will meet them at the point of their need. I pray, Father God, for our pastor and your man of God that will go forth during this hour. Hide him, oh God. Hide him, oh God. Hide him behind the cross. Give him a right now word, a word, Lord Jesus, that came straight from you. Help him, oh God, to speak not as a natural man, but as a man that has been in contact with a true and a living God. Bless your people everywhere. We want to tell you thank you, and we want to praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. If you will, turn with me in your Bibles, and we are going to be reading for our scripture lesson this morning from John, St. John, chapter 1, verses numbers 1 through 18. St. John, chapter 1, verses 1 through 18. And hear ye the word of the Lord. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shined in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. which lighted every man that cometh into the world. He was not in the world, he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believed on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. For the law was given unto Moses by grace, and truth came by Jesus Christ. No man had seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he had declared him. The word of God is already blessed. Amen. Amen.
God in New Jerusalem.
This is the day that the Lord has made, and we are rejoiced and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. It's a word from God for us today. I'm trying to hold you long. But if you turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians, turn in your Bibles with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians at chapter 5. Morning, I want to have a conversation with us and shine some harmonic spotlight on verses 16, 17, and 18 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verses 16, 17, and 18. Let's pray. Lord our God, how excellent is your name in all the earth. Father God, we thank you for being our Lord, our Savior, and our Liberator. Father God, we thank you that you are our God, and you are the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, and the end. But Father God, right now we come and sit at your feet. Because Lord, we need a word from you.
Yes,
and without a word from you, what will we do? You said in your word that your people perish for lack of knowledge. So Father God, right now we ask that you just impart to us wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. Draw back the draperies of misunderstanding. Make your word plain enough so a child can understand it. Father God, bind Satan as he goes to and fro through the airwaves. Touch every mind, oh Father God, bind Satan as he tries to snatch the word of knowledge away from your people. Father God, we ask you to let us grow up in you.
Yes.
Let us become more mature in you. Father God, equip us, Father God. Where we are slow at in our minds, oh Father God, because Father God, we are finite, but you are infinite. So right now, in the name of Jesus, we ask you to allow the supernatural to touch our minds and absorb your word right now in the name of Jesus. Let your word go forth with power and might. Father God, I plead the blood over our minds, over our bodies right now, and I let our spirit stand up within us as we hear from you this morning. If you do these real simple things, so Father God, use me as body behind me behind the cross. Do these few simple things for us, oh Father God, and we'll be careful to give you all the honor, the praise, and the glory. Speak, Lord, for your people. Hear it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16, 17, and 18. Rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. In everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And we know that God's word is already blessed. You may rest yourself in the presence of the Lord. My brothers and sisters, I want to submit to you this morning that you worship out of your experience.
Amen.
I was looking at television this morning, and I sure must have seen this commercial 15 or 20 times. But the commercial jumped out at me this morning. It's a commercial about a patch for cigarette smokers. It is a Nicoderm patch to aid persons who are trying to quit smoking. The commercial went on to say whatever they had to say about Nicoderm CQ. Whatever its qualities and properties were. But the commercial ends by saying, for every great why, there's a great how. For every great why, there's a great how.
Amen. Amen.
Why do you come to church on Sunday morning? Why do you get up every week and come to the same place? Sit in the same pew next to the same people. Listen to the same preacher. Go to the same Sunday school class every week without fail. You worship born of your experiences.
Amen. Amen.
Tribulation, the Bible says, worketh patience.
Yes, it does.
And patience, experience. And experience, hope. And hope does not make us ashamed. Because the love of God is shed abroad in our heart. The only way to properly worship, the only way to truly worship, is out of what you have been through.
Amen. Amen.
You can tell somebody else's testimony, but it's not your testimony. You can pretend to carry on like you see somebody else carry on act on Sunday morning, but it's not born out of your experience.
Amen.
It is false, fake, phony, and untrue. But when God has been real good to you, when God has really brought you out, your work of worship takes a different flavor, a different kind of turn. But it's no longer just repetition. It is no longer just what you do on Sunday morning. It's not routine. It's no longer just showing up. Now that you know why, you get excited about how. I know why I worship, but Paul teaches us how to worship. Paul says, rejoice evermore. That's the first exhortation. Always be rejoicing. Always be exalted. Always be enthusiastic. Always full of joy. Pray continuously without ceasing in everything. Not for everything, but in everything. I'm not grateful for cancer, but I'm grateful in that situation. I'm not grateful for my heartache, but I'm thankful in the midst of my situation.
Yes.
I'm not grateful for my storm, but I praise God in the midst of my storm.
Amen. Amen.
In this group of three exhortations that I read you, Paul leaves the habits that characterize the Christian's relationship to God. The first one of those characteristics is praise. Verse 16 leads us into praise. Rejoice forevermore. The apostle never encourages believers to deny that adversity brings sadness and grief. Romans 12 and 15 tells us to rejoice with those who rejoice, but to weep also with those who weep.
Amen.
But to recognize that in the midst of the most agonizing situation, the presence of God through His Spirit can infuse the soul with hope and the heart with joy.
Yes.
Joy. Joy. Not happiness, but joy. Because happiness is contingent upon what is happening. But joy is in spite of what is happening.
Amen.
Brothers and sisters, you may notice about some people, they are not always smiling and always jumping up and down. They're not always ebullient and floating on air, because everybody does not have that personality of just being effervescent and just always springing up. That's not everybody's personality. And to look at that, you would think that those people are coarse and cold. But life has a way of tempering you. I don't bake, and I have, but I like to watch the food channel. I watch those people, y'all, who are on there trying to cook, who are teaching us how to cook. They bake and they cook whenever, watch this now, whenever there's a mixture that requires eggs to be put in that mixture, a warm mixture, the eggs have to be put in slowly to temper the mixture, or you scramble the eggs. You will mess up your end result if you put it in too quickly. So you have to temper the eggs. You have to pour a little bit of that warm mixture into the eggs to get it acclimated to the temperature of what you are about to pour into it. Because you don't want to pour the cold eggs in there, because you will scramble the eggs in that mixture. That's the way God deals with us.
Yes.
As it relates to our joy. God mixes enough trouble with enough happiness to fill us with contentment and joy. Because we are not always jumping up and down. Are y'all with me? Because we know that maybe around the corner, there's something we are not expecting. But if it comes, our faith has been tempered. Our joy has been made complete. Because we are not always happy, but we are always full of joy.
Amen, amen.
I hope you understand what Pastor said.
Yep, yep.
Brothers and sisters, happiness comes and goes.
Yep.
But joy shows up in your facial expression. Joy shows up in your handshake. Joy shows up in everything around you when everything around you is falling apart. You still come to church even if hell's breaking loose. You still hold your head up if hell's breaking loose. You still give God your best. Hallelujah. It does not matter who's sitting next to you or what anybody thinks of you. If God has been good to you, the scripture says your joy springs up in your life. The believers were not to display the dispassionate indifference of the Stoics. They were not to grasp the impersonal naturalism of the Neoplatonists. They were not to hold to the sterile academic approach to life of the skeptics. They could not fall prey to the rigorous idealism of the cynics, nor the eat and drink and be merry philosophy of the effervescents. The church was unique in its proclamation that joy was at the heart of its faith. And if you do not have real lasting joy, if you do not have real lasting joy, I seriously question your commitment to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Because nobody can come to Jesus and be saved and leave the same way you came.
Amen.
There's something about that name.
Yes, yes.
There's something wonderful about that name.
Amen.
Just Sunday morning gets me excited. I was raised up, reverenced around some elderly folk. Grammy, my aunt, and my mommy, because I was raised up around them, I had that kind of excitement about Sunday morning.
Yes.
They started getting ready for church on Friday night. I wish I had a witness here. My Grammy would put her clothes out on Friday. If something needed to be ironed, she would iron it on Saturday. Most of her cooking was done on Saturday night. I'm spoke like that. Don't be trying to cook for me on Sunday after I got to church. I want food ready when I get home, sorry. That's just the way I was raised. Because Sunday was the Lord's day. We were going to church. And we had to get up early in the morning, y'all. Because the bus had to pick us up and take us to Sunday school. We had to be ready for church. And then when we went to 11 o'clock service, we went to 11 o'clock service after Sunday school. Then after 11 o'clock service, we went home, listen now, and ate together. None of this, you get your plate and go to your room, and we'll sit, no, we ate at the table together, and it wasn't our room, we put a TV table out for you. Then after we ate, we had to get ready for church again, to go back to 6 o'clock, BTU, Baptist Training Union.
Yeah.
After Baptist Training Union, we stayed for night service. Sunday wore you out. But Psalms 119 and 139 said, my zeal for the Lord wears me out.
Yes, yes it does.
I don't understand Christians who come to church and they're satisfied with going home all fresh. When it comes to the worship service, Sister Philly, for me, that's an intense, no holds barred time. After preaching and conducting the service, I am mentally, spiritually, and physically drained. I've had no time to sleep because I can't sleep the night before because the gift on the inside of me is so stirred up, I'm ready to deliver the word. Do battle. I come to church and want to give God my all. My all in all. My best. Hallelujah. I just want to be thankful.
Amen.
Just want to be thankful. That's right, Dr. Sutton. I didn't think I did y'all suck with my message, did I?
I did.
Whoa, I never did that before. That's a new thing. I just want to be thankful. When I go home, I want to have left it all on the field. I woke up this morning with my mind stayed on Jesus. I'm used to singing, praying, walking, talking, but my mind stayed on Jesus. I don't come to church to spectate because real worship is not a spectator sport. I come to church to participate. Because I just want to be thankful.
Yeah, yeah.
I come to give God my best smile,
yeah.
My best hallelujah, I come to raise my hands. I come to open my mouth because I just want to be thankful. Because this may be my last time. Rejoice forevermore. That's the first exhortation in this trilogy of exhortations. The second is in verse 17. Pray without ceasing. I know why I was rushing. I was dying to get to this one. Pray without ceasing. Hallelujah. The first is rejoice. There should be rejoicing if you just want to be thankful. But secondly, just being thankful should be in prayer. Pray continually. Yes. Praise continually. Amen. I'm going to give you an example of that in just a minute. Prayer was not to be limited to a prescribed hour or hours, but should rather be a common and constant element in our daily lives. Here's what praise and pray without ceasing means. It does not mean to walk around everywhere you go. Hallelujah. That's not praying without ceasing. This is not all what that means. Here's what it means. Listen to Pastor. Praying without ceasing, y'all with me, is a picture of a person with an intermittent cough. You're not coughing all day, but there's a tickle in the back of your throat. But every once in a while, you gotta clear your throat. Y'all with me? Yeah. And homeless people can tell you about this. Cough is possible. You're not coughing all day, but a cough can come up at any minute. You're not praying all day. But if you need it, it's right in the back of your throat. You're not praising all day. But when God lets something come your way, good. Amen. A praise just jumps up out of you. It's right in the back of your throat. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. Right in the back of your throat. It's always in the back of your throat. And people who know you know not to come around you on your job talking about the Lord. You're trying to make me lose my job. Don't call my job telling me how good the Lord is. Don't call me while I'm cooking telling me what the Lord has done for you. You're trying to make me burn up my food. God's been so good to you. And no matter where you are, it just comes up, it's in the back of your throat. Without ceasing. Likewise, just like praise and prayer, it's like an intermittent cough in the back of your throat. There's some things that are cough suppressants. There's some things that are cough suppressants. Pride is a cough suppressant. Hatred is a cough suppressant. It suppresses your praise cough. Judgmental spirits is a cough suppressant. Envy is a cough suppressant. Lust is a cough suppressant. God wants to get a praise out of you, a perfect praise, but first he got to get some stuff out of you. That's right. Is there anybody on the sound of my voice knows that your praise has been perfected because of what you have been through? Amen. I need some witnesses here, y'all, who praise has been perfected in by the storms that you have been through, by the mess that you got yourself in, and by the mess God had to get you out of, and by the mess God kept you out of. Amen. You're not good in here this morning or under the sound of my voice this morning because you're so careful and great, because you're so righteous. No, it's because God's been keeping you.
Yes, he has.
Yes, he has. It's his grace and his mercy. I need a real worshiper. I need a real praiser under the sound of my voice who's not here praising because you have it all together. You're not praying and praising because everything in your life is coming up roses. You just know that at any minute, a praise can come up because it's in the back. Thank you, Jesus. A prayer might come up. Our Lord bless him and keep him. Don't let the Lord give you strength.
Yes, Lord.
You know that God has blessed you. It don't even have to be Sunday morning. You just go look in your closet and see how God has blessed you. Yes. That's enough for you to say, oh, thank you, Jesus. get behind the wheel of that car and you remember when you did not have a car. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Cough in the back of your throat. Being a part of this church where people can hug you and love you, and then you remember when you felt you was all by yourself. Thank you, Jesus. So sit down at your table, eat a meal. Look in your pantry and you can see all the canned goods that you have not yet opened. And homeless people in Fort Lauderdale wish they had someone to give them some food. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Is there anybody here got a praise in the back of your throat? Then don't you let anybody suppress your hallelujah. Then finally, don't let anybody suppress your cough.
Amen.
Finally, verse 18 says, in this last one of the three exhortations, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Thankfulness is the opposite of complaining.
Yes.
Thankfulness is the opposite of complaining.
Yes, yes.
I could complain, but I won't. I used to complain, but I won't. I need to complain, but I won't. Because when I put my blessings on the side of my complaints, the balance of the scale is always tilted in my direction. My blessings far outweigh my complaints. Oh, help me somebody. Y'all, I don't know if y'all got it. The Israelites, y'all, had more to be thankful for, more than any people in the Bible.
Yes.
Yet, they were guilty of doing the most complaining.
Yes.
And like no other nation in Scripture, they watched God move on their behalf. I'm not talking about what they heard. I'm not talking about the second generation in the promised land. I'm talking about the generation that left Egypt. If anybody could have been praising God or should have been praising God, it should have been the Gad crowd. Because they saw God work miracles in front of their eyes. They saw God open up the Red Sea.
Yes, they did.
And God loved them so much, He would not even let them walk on muddy ground. They went over on dry ground. And the enemies that were tracking them, when they got in the midst of the same sea that opened up for Israel, closed on the Egyptians. And the dead bodies, the Bible said, of Pharaoh's army washed up on the shores. Miriam, Moses' sister, got a tambourine and sang, God is a man of war. He has fought many battles, and He has never lost one. And Jehovah is His name.
Amen.
They saw that. Then when they got hungry, God rained food, manna, bread from heaven.
Yes.
They saw that. And when they started complaining that there was no meat with the bread, God sent quail, which is a delicacy in restaurants today, to eat with their manna. Then they complained that they had nothing to wash it down with. God told Moses, speak to the rock.
Yes.
And sweet water flowed out of a rock.
Amen.
They saw that. Their sandals never wore out.
Yes. Yes.
They wore the same clothes for 40 long, y'all hearing me?
40 long years.
Think about this now. God ain't really being real in front of you. You ain't changed these clothes for 40 years. You ain't got no new ones, but they're not wearing out. You're in the desert walking on the sand with the sandals. What?
They didn't wear
out.
Amen.
Oh, Lord. They saw that the clothes and sandals didn't wear out. They would not wear out. If anybody should have been praising God, it was the children of Israel.
Yes.
But let's not be too hard on the children of Israel, y'all. There's some Israelites under the sound of my voice this morning called African Americans. If anybody should be praising God, it should be people of color. You saw Bull Connor. You saw those dogs that they turned loose on those children. You saw the fire hoses that they let off on those children. You saw the back door they made us go through. You saw Jim Crow segregation. You had to hear nigger, gal, uncle, and boy. You saw how they dehumanized us as a people. But through it all, I said through it all, God brought us through.
Yes.
You mean to tell me you still sitting down? You still can't? You can't? You can still sit still? You looking at me wondering why I'm so excited about? Wondering why I'm starting to break a sweat? Why I'm starting to get excited in the middle of this message?
Yes.
I will tell you why I broke into sweat in this message, because I'm grateful. I just want to be thankful. I said I'm grateful, and I just want to be so thankful, because God brought me up. God made a way out of no way. God did some things for me that I not even asked him to do. So I'm going to come here every time I get a chance and rejoice over his goodness. Yeah. I'm going to shout over his blessings. Yeah. I need somebody who is not embarrassed to help me testify and say, thank you, Jesus. God is a good God. He's a merciful God. God is faithful. God is worthy to be praised. Yes. And if you don't want to praise him, I will praise him by myself. If I'm in a pew, I'll praise him by myself. If you in my section don't want to know, I'll praise him in the section by myself. I'm going to lift my voice just to be thankful, because I'm going to rejoice forevermore.
Amen.
Because you see, I don't know what trouble is going to get in my way. I don't know when sickness is going to come my way. I don't know when hardship is going to come my way. So I always got something in the back of my throat. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You've been a father for me when I was fatherless, Lord. You've been a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. Anybody here know that the Lord your God has been keeping you? If the Lord made a way for you right now, you should just be putting your hands together and just thanking God to catch up on your praise. Think about how good God is, and every time you get bigger, you catch up on your praise.
Yes.
You catch up on your hallelujah.
Yes, yes.
The Lord has been my teacher, y'all.
Yes.
He's been my role model. God has helped me pastor for 5 long years. He's such a good God. Just be thankful.
Yes.
You just need to be thankful and rejoice forevermore.
Yes.
Pray without ceasing in everything. Give thanks, for this is the will of God concerning you. Give God his all.
Amen.
Give God what he's deserved.
Yes.
Give God what he's deserved, church.
Yes.
Just be thankful.
Yes.
Just be thankful. Paul gives us the exhortation, and he reminds us how we ought to do it. He gives us the characteristic that Christians have in their relationship to God. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and in everything, give thanks. May God bless and keep you. This is our prayer.
Thank you,
God.
Thank you, Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank God for the word this morning. We should rejoice forevermore. We should pray without ceasing. If you're under the sound of my voice today and you heard the word of God, you heard the promises of God, but you still don't know this God, I'm here today to extend an invitation to you, to welcome you to know this God. And it's simple, because the word of God says, if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you shall be saved. And after you heard the word of God, you want to be saved. There's no distance in prayer. I'm going to pray for you wherever you are. And I'm going to ask God to give you the grace and the faith to believe that you receive, and you will become his child right now. You also may be under the sound of my voice and you don't have a church home. In fact, you've given up on church. Amen. You said, I'm never going to go to church again. We want to invite you to try the church again. Yeah, the church not perfect. You know why? Because a whole lot of us in the church, people, normal, ordinary people just like you, with our flaws and with our failures. But we don't make the church.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Our human parts don't make the church. The church is the body of Christ.
Yes.
And we want to welcome you to be a part of the body of Christ. Bow your hearts with me as we pray these simple prayers over those that received the invitation today. Heavenly Father, we thank you because there is no distance in prayer. You see that one, Lord Jesus, that may have said, that's me, I want to come back to God. And you saw the other one that said, that's me, I want to try the church again. I pray, Father, now in the name of Jesus, as they have desired in their hearts, that you will give them the courage right now for Jesus to confess their sins to you. Give them the courage right now to say, God, I'm sorry, and I want to come back to you. And as they make this confession right now, I would seal it right now in the name of Jesus and pray, God, that your Holy Spirit will go with them wherever they are. Let them sense your presence near them, oh God. Let them know that you are there, and let them know that you are receiving them right now in the name of Jesus. We want to tell you thank you, and we want to praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Lift your hands with me now for the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us now, henceforth, and forevermore. Let the church say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.